St. George's number one station with Washington County's top talk show. The Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is 9:09 on a Wednesday. It's, by the way, guys, I've got Steve Dunham here and Annette Simmons from the Washington County School District. It's my wife's birthday today.
Oh, good.
Happy birthday.
So I've been making a big deal of it, and she's going to be mad because she doesn't like to have it be a big deal. Well,
Steve, so should we call her?
No.
And Steve will sing to her.
Oh, well, I don't know if that's a very good idea. That might be really cooking your goose.
I don't want to ruin her birthday.
Oh, yeah, that would ruin her birthday.
Well, you know, today's impossible question was, what was the world's population on the year my wife was born? I did not reveal the year, but I did reveal the population. If somebody were ambitious enough, they could go look it up and find out what year she was born.
Ah.
Somebody actually texted in like 5.7 billion, which was in 95, which would imply my wife would then be 28 years old today, which, since I'm 57...
That's a little tricky.
A little hanky there.
Yeah.
I would say she's probably 40.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good number.
Yeah. Yeah. 40's good.
40's good.
I'm not going to say any age. I'm just going to stay quiet.
Stay out of this one, Steve. You're a wise man.
Look at that picture on your wall. That is beautiful. Man.
I know. It's of his wife. That is so sweet.
Anyway, thanks for tuning into the show today. We're talking Washington County Schools. Steve Dunham is here, the communications director for the school district.
Yes,
Steve,
sir.
Thank you for coming.
It's a pleasure to be here, Andy. Thank
looking
you.
Looking great, man. And then we are both paled in comparison to the beauty that is across the room here in Nanette Simmons.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
It's nice to be here.
You are on the Washington County School Board, right?
Yes, I am.
Brand new as of, I don't know.
January.
When? January. Okay.
January 4th.
So you're not brand new. You're 4 months or so.
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting the hang of things?
I feel seasoned.
Yeah.
No, I'm getting the hang of things. Yes, it's been wonderful.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Nanette, where you're from, how long you've lived here in southern Utah, and just about your family and life. Tell us about yourself.
Okay, well, I'll start with my family since that's my favorite subject, but I have 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls.
Nice.
I have 8 grandchildren.
No way.
Yeah. And
she's a grandma, Steve. She doesn't look
like
a grandma.
I am a grandma.
You do not look anything like a grandma.
Well, so 4 of them are 5 years old.
Okay.
And then a 3-year-old that lives down here.
Okay.
And then a 2-year-old, brand new baby, a month.
Nice.
And an 8-year-old, and I don't know if that. Oh, and a 2-year-old. So there we go. So one family lives down here. The rest are up north. So I spend a lot of time up north, which is nice in the snow.
Well, like my family, actually. I have my 3 sons, and I have now 5 grandkids, and they all live in Utah County.
Yeah. So you got to make the drive.
Right.
So my educational background, I studied elementary education.
Okay.
And then it got a master's in curriculum and instruction.
Nice. Where's your master's from?
From Weber.
Weber State.
Weber State University. Okay. I went to BYU prior to that. No, my master's from Utah State University.
Oh.
Sorry. And then...
There are a lot of Utah State people that are like, what did you just do to us?
I know. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And then I received my administrative endorsement from Utah State University.
Nice.
And nice. So I taught mostly 5th grade, which I loved. I always thought I wanted the younger grade levels because before that I taught preschool for 9 years.
Okay.
But I happened to land on 5th grade, and I loved 5th grade.
For 9 years, you said?
No, for 5 years.
5 years teaching 5th graders.
Yes.
And where was that?
That was at Orchard Elementary.
Which is where?
In Davis School District.
Okay.
So, yeah, Davis School District was where I did all of my education, or all of my teaching, I should say. And then after that, I did a mentoring program, which is what they now call literacy coach.
Okay.
So I was a literacy coach basically for about 5 years, which led into becoming an assistant principal.
Oh, wow.
2 years later, I was a principal. First school was West Point Elementary. Second school was Snow Horse Elementary. And third
Snow Horse?
Yeah, Snow Horse Elementary.
That one. Where is that?
It is
also
it,
Davis County. Or?
West Kaysville. Everything's okay. Davis County. They named the school after the snow on the mountain. When it melts, mm-hmm. there's a outline of a horse, and
really?
That means that it's time to plant.
See, are we learning stuff today?
That is really cool.
Yeah. So a long time ago, when the farmers didn't know when spring was coming or when to plant their crops, they would look at that mountain and they would see, oh, there's an outline of the horse. It's time to plant our crops.
The Snow Horse. Got it.
So that's why they named it Snow Horse Elementary.
Very
so,
cool.
Yeah.
And you were the principal there.
I was a principal there.
Nice.
And then moved to Mountain View Elementary. And then my husband moved down here, and I thought I better follow him.
Probably a good idea.
So at that point, I ended my education career, but always left the door open for any opportunities. So when this school board opportunity came, I decided to run, and I haven't regretted it. I have thoroughly enjoyed it.
What made you want to be on the school board? Did you see some things you wanted to change, or did you just feel like I need to get involved and be a part of it?
I felt like I needed to get involved and be a part of it.
Okay.
And I wanted to be able to walk into schools and see the little kids, the older kids,
mm-hmm.
the junior high, the high school kids, see what they're doing, just be a part of that again. I missed it. I missed everything about it.
Well, it's cool. We have former principal Burke Staley, of course, the other new board member.
Yes.
Yep.
Former principal, a couple of different schools, and now Nanette here. I didn't know that you were a principal before, but now I do.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool.
It's exciting when we have these board members that have so much educational experience that they're bringing to the jobs in
right.
the school district. To watch over not only the children, you know, first and foremost the children, and then our parents, but also our taxpayers. That it's good to have that experience with us.
Yeah, it's nice.
Is there, with the board, and I'll ask Steve, maybe I can ask you about it, Nanette, too, is there kind of a dividing line for those who have experiences in the non-educational side, parents and people like that, versus those that have educational backgrounds? Is there a division there a little bit in how things are approached?
I don't think so, because you have everybody that's on the school board is there because they want to help children first, and they want to help our community second. And by helping our children, you end up helping our community.
Right.
And so you have, you know, board members that have a background in PTA or community involvement, whatever
right.
that might be, and that goal is still the same. They want to see the schools flourish. They want to see them thrive. They want to see our students thrive. And so... Nanette, what's your feeling?
No, I agree. I think all of the school board members spend a significant amount of time in the schools knowing what's going on, community council, PTA meetings, and I am impressed with the knowledge that they have about what is happening within the schools.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, with your background as a teacher and principal, I guess there was a lot of pressure on your kids to get good grades and be good students, yeah?
Yeah.
Are they all grown
oh,
now?
Yeah.
Are all your kids moved out?
They're all grown. They're all moved out. My daughter, my youngest, just graduated from the University of Utah with her master's.
Okay.
And so,
now,
yes,
wait, you
they
went
are.
To BYU and Utah State, but she went to Utah?
Well, she went to BYU to get her undergrad.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And
oh,
then her
bad.
Master's at University of Utah.
Hey,
so go,
hey,
go
can,
University
can,
of Utah.
I can turn your mic off.
Oh, please. Come on.
Did you just hear me say go you?
Yes, I did. I appreciate that.
But you went to BYU.
But I went to BYU.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah.
Good friend of mine. He is a dyed-in-the-wool hardcore Ute fan. His daughter chose BYU.
So
he's going through that. He's going through that whole, how do I do this kind of thing.
Actually,
well, she can get her master's at the U,
yeah,
and then she'll be fine.
I actually had to struggle through that a little bit as well when my children were younger. They were pretty hardcore BYU fans.
Yeah.
And I was always like, come on, guys. My oldest, I even put at a preschool at the U so he could take preschool at the U. He had his cute little U sweatshirt and everything when he go to preschool, so it was fun.
Mm. Another friend of mine is a hardcore Ute fan, but he got his master, his law degree from the BYU, I forget the name of the guy, but the BYU law school.
Yeah.
And I always say, why don't you like BYU? And he says, well, I went to their law school. I didn't go to the actual university. I went to their law school. That's different. It doesn't count. So, okay, whatever.
I've just been a Ute fan because of my dad.
Oh, that's fun.
The football games all the time, the basketball games, the tickets, my brothers. So, but I chose BYU at first.
Good. I'm surprised they didn't throw you out of the family. You got a Ute family. You're growing where?
We're divided.
Well, it's a great rivalry, and I love it when it's a friendly rivalry. Sometimes it gets mean and nasty. I hate that.
Ours is friendly.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. And honestly, I want Utah to win every game except one every year.
I have a hard time. Well, let's see.
She's torn.
So Nanette Simmons is here from the school board. What are some of the things now on the school board? What are your purview? What are some things that you're responsible for? I assume you have a few assignments beyond just being on the board.
Yeah. So one assignment I have is I attend the board meetings for Dixie Tech. Technical school. And attended their graduation last week, which was wonderful. I'm so impressed with the amount of kids that go to that school and that we're graduating. So that's one of my assignments. Outside of the school board, I'm actually on the primary children's board.
So the primary children up in Salt Lake City?
Uh-huh, yeah.
But you're on the board living down here?
Well, yeah. I travel up there.
Oh, okay.
I travel up there. It's the community and relations board.
Nice.
So we do a lot of fundraising, talking to people, and I've been doing that now for probably eight years.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Back to the technical school.
Yes.
The focus for as long as I can remember for most families was get your education, you know, go get a college degree, get a master's, get a whatever you can, get your education. And Steve, you guys will probably agree, things have changed a little bit. We still want you to get educated and find a trade or a career that's good for you, but it doesn't have to be a bachelor's or a master's. It could be some kind of technical degree. And that's why I think, you know, with the new high school coming online, correct, and of course, love Dixie that. Technical College, kids that maybe don't feel like they fit into the college atmosphere, and a career in, you know, whatever a college degree might take you, can find somewhere to fit in, find their niche. I have a son who graduated from technical college, and he has a great career right now with what he learned at technical college.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's it exactly. Our board looked at this when we began the process of looking at career tech high school, how it would feed in not only to Utah Tech and not only to Dixie Tech, but also to career, their life in general.
Right.
And we wanted to provide a pathway and meet the students where they were so that they would have the skills, the abilities to make a living here in our community. We didn't want to keep farming them out. We didn't want them to keep leaving for different opportunities elsewhere. And if we didn't find a way to provide that, we were going to continue to have that, where the students would leave to either to go away to school, to go away to find work, and we needed to provide the pathways where they could continue to live here in our community and make Washington County stronger.
Absolutely.
So the new school is going to be called Career Tech, right?
Career Tech High. CT High for short, but Career Tech High.
Does it open in the fall, or are we still...
Yes.
This fall.
It opens in August, and it is, they're mostly full. I think there might be a few openings in the junior and senior class offerings, but the freshman and sophomore, it's 4 years, so you're going 9th through 12th at Career Tech, not 10th through 12th like our other high schools, and it's opening in August. They're the Titans. They're the Titans of industry, Tech Titans. You know, it is really exciting, and they've already started having some of their get-togethers with their students that they've accepted to bring them out, to let them see the campus, to let them see what they're going to be a part of as we kick this off.
How big a staff is that school going to have? How many teachers, administrators, and support staff? Do you have any idea?
I honestly don't know the answer to that. I don't know the exact numbers. I know they're slated to have 600 students, so I imagine it would be about the same as an elementary school.
Yeah, I think the number, the last number I heard they had was about 450, but I could be wrong.
No, that's probably accurate as we're starting and it grow, because I know there's still offerings
that was
available.
The first,
okay.
The first offering. So, but we as a board had an opportunity to go and take a tour, and it is incredible. I really wish that they would have had that when my children were growing up.
Yeah.
Some of my children could have benefited from that, and they leave with something that they can do in the community, and it's just going to be great.
They have that usable certificate that can provide them a living wage here in our community.
Yep.
And that also opens the door for furthering that certificate and that apprenticeship, whether they go to Dixie Tech or whether they further their education and go to Utah Tech. The pathways are all aligned as we've worked with those institutes of higher education so that the students have those three options available. And again, like you said with your son, we want to meet the children where they are in their educational process. Some kids love going to school. Some kids like online learning. Some kids like hands-on learning.
Right.
And we need to provide those opportunities so that we are offering the full offering, I guess, offering the full offering, or the offerings that are offered. How was that?
I would say the CTE is a lot of hands-on.
Yes.
It is going to be hands-on learning and... I mean, I know they have a culinary school or culinary.
Yes.
Culinary.
They're going to do the miniature homes as well. So there will be a construction pathway.
Now, what about the core educational part, the English and math and science? Is that a part of it as well?
It is. And that's what's so exciting is that is taught so that the kids can understand how it's going to be applicable in the pathway they've chosen, and they can see how they're going to use it. So they're not sitting in class going, how am I going to use this trigonometry formula in life going forward?
Although I have a friend who's a math teacher who says, how you're going to use it is you're going to use it right now in my class. That's what he always says.
Well, that's what he says. But again, now we can widen that offering and show, hey, and look, this is how you're going to adapt that to whatever you're doing here in construction or whatever you're doing here in the culinary arts or whatever you're doing here in veterinary science.
Yeah.
What's the physical address of the CT High?
Oh, goodness. I'd have to hurry and look it up. So, Nanette, talk, and I'll pull it up here.
I know it's... Straight up River Road.
That is correct.
You just keep going towards where the airport road meets.
South, okay. and it's before we get to the road down to the airport?
Yes.
Okay.
Off to the right if you're headed on River Road.
Okay. And
it's a beautiful school.
Seems like I'm guessing maybe 50th South or something on River Road.
It is coming at 1001 East White Dome Drive.
1001 East, okay.
White Dome Drive.
I don't know what that it means. I've never heard of that road, but I assume that's right off the
road. Well, that's because we put in that road.
You put it in.
It is brand new. And it is just south of the White Dome, the White Pocket, where people can go out and hike.
I'm surprised it's not Steve Dunham Road.
I wouldn't do that. I don't have that much of a donation to provide to the district to get it named after me.
What's across the street from that?
That's the Ents Homes development that's going in.
Okay, aren't they building a Maverick or something?
I honestly don't know. But I know that Utah Tech also has property adjacent to us down there as well.
Nice.
And a lot of what their offerings are going to be are going to coincide with what we have there at Courier Tech High.
Okay, nice.
Seems like actually a really good place for a Maverick or some other type store if there's going to be a school there.
That's right. We can
housing development.
Come on, Maverick.
We can fund them. And, you know, we put it there specifically because as we know we're drawing from throughout Washington County. We're providing the buses from students from all these different schools to come into it. And it provides easy access. So for whether you're coming from St. George, Santa Clara, Enterprise.
I was going to ask you about Enterprise. So you're actually providing a bus so someone can go from Enterprise to CT High.
Hurricane, you know, have a quick access. Hurricane has almost the same commute in with that Southern Parkway that you would. It's probably a little bit quicker than you would from Snow Canyon, to be honest with you.
Very cool.
So
Tech High opening in the fall.
The fall, August. This August.
Seems like we've been talking about it for a couple of years now, so it's good that...
We really have because the original date slated for opening was the 2021, and then the pandemic hit, And then we had the crisis of finding construction materials and getting everything done. So this has been bumped 2 years as we've really delayed trying to get all the construction materials to make sure that we had what we needed to open the school properly. And so we have been talking about it for a while. We're excited to see this day finally come and celebrate with the students. We think the students are going to be thrilled with what they have to learn about there.
I don't think we're unhappy with our career paths, but imagine had something like this been available when we were that age. Maybe our lives would be a little bit different right now. Huh?
Yeah.
You know, I agree. Like we've talked, I wish this was available for my kids. Some of mine may still have an opportunity to take advantage of it, but and yet some of my older kids, I'm like, oh, I know this would have helped in where they're going and the choices they've made going down the road of their career. But, you know, instead of looking back, we have to look forward and go, look at how many hundreds and thousands of children we are going to impact in our community. And we're looking at it from how are we going to really help this community to grow, to be stronger, and to provide those work opportunities for these children.
And we want the students to love learning.
Yes.
And I think this is an opportunity where some students can love what they're doing and love learning at the same time, because being a lifetime learner is what we want.
Yeah.
I did not love learning in high school.
Not that kind of learning.
No, right? I didn't. And so that is such a great phrase, because that's really the truth. You want children to enjoy it, to love what they're doing.
You know, for me, I grew up to be a writer, which if you asked my 10th grade English teacher, is this guy going to be a writer? She'd be like, oh, there's no way. But I had to write about, you know, I remember we had to write a paper on the Shakespeare play Julius Caesar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to write that. And I did a really lousy job of it because I didn't want to do it. Yeah. You know, and I did the minimum required. Well, I grew up and I started writing about sports and about, you know, cool community event like the county fair or whatever. And like, I like writing now because I'm writing about stuff that I care about.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're writing about putting parts together on a car.
Yeah.
I mean, that can be exciting for some people. If you're writing about ingredients that go into food, that can be exciting for people. So I'm just excited for a new way to learn.
Got a text. Someone said, where is the new school? We already answered that. Also, are they going to play any sports? My guess is there will be no sports
teams.
No.
There will not. There's no extracurricular activities, but students who want to participate in sports can go back to their boundary school and participate in
it. So I could, you know, maybe a career path being a diesel mechanic or whatever, and also go back and be on the baseball team.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Okay.
Or be in the band, or be in the school play. Right. Whatever your passion is, you still have that opportunity available at your boundary school, and we're not taking it away from them. They'll still have those opportunities available to them.
Let's take a quick phone call. Hi, Head. Thanks for calling on the show. We're talking schools today. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to say, well, first of all, I'm excited that they have a tech. I think get some of these young men off their job and go to school now, have that opportunity. But that's not what I call that. I want to say something, and I don't want to make it sound mean, but Steve said that, you know, most of the board members are there to serve the youth, but I have a real issue with that, because when the school board shuts us, I don't know if you know how many kids now have anxiety, they're upset about things. I mean, it's a major problem, not just here, but all over. And it's because the school board said, you got to wear a mask. We're not going to let you go to school. If your parents don't have shots, they're going to die. And so why, if they're really interested in helping the children, why would they shut the school down and make them wear a mask where they can't see their teachers' lips? So maybe they can answer why they would say they are interested, but yet they can't go. They would shut the schools down. So that's just my question.
Okay, good question. Steve?
Hey, I would love to address that, because we did what we were told to do. We were forced to do by law to keep schools running, and we only closed for 3 months, where many school districts throughout the nation closed the entire next year.
Yeah.
They did online learning.
And some of them in California the year after that, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And in New York the year after that. And we opened up that fall. We were closed for just those 3 months. And then we, by law, had to have the masks. But that's what we had to do to have school in person. And we were one of the first school districts to back away from that as well, and provide as much freedom as we felt was reasonable and safe for our educators as well as our students. So to say that we did that, it's like, well, we had to follow the law. There were some pretty significant penalties in place for our board members and for the district if we chose not to follow that law. So we were following the law that was laid out in front of us and with the information we had. Also, I think it's important that we quit looking at the past. We've gotten over that by several years now. And so let's move forward and look at what we're doing and how we are still achieving. We are one of the first school districts in the state to get our reading levels back up to pre-pandemic levels, and we did it the fastest.
We had opportunities for students to go to after-school programs to catch up for reading and math. And
yes.
So we've done everything that we can to help our students.
I've got to get a commercial break in, guys. Good okay. topic. We'll continue this when we come back.
Thank
Again,
you.
School districts today. We're talking on The Andy Griffin Show.
Compelling guests, hot topics, the latest news. Always on The Andy Griffin Show.
Is there a juicy part in it for me?
Right here on News Radio 890. 92.5 KDXU. Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking schools today. Steve Dunham is here from the school district and Nanette Simmons from the school board.
Hello.
Thanks again
Hello.
For coming in. Appreciate you guys.
Sure.
We were talking a little bit before we went to break about what happened with COVID and the school shutdown and the masks. And I agree with Steve in most of it in that, yeah, this is the past and we have to get over it. Unfortunately, there are some lingering consequences with anxiety and depression at all-time high now, all-time highs with everybody, but also especially with our young people. Have you guys seen that in the schools? I'm baiting you. Of course, you've probably seen it some, duh. But how has that affected schooling?
Well, let's look at what we have done in Washington County to compensate for that.
Right.
Now, the anxiety was building before. So there's an overall trend of anxiety.
And we can blame our smartphones for part of that.
Well, yeah. I don't know what proof, but that's one of my feelings, too, is that too much screen time, too much social media does have an impact on anxiety for children.
I agree.
And so as a school district, we were one of the first, again, in the state. We led the way on wellness rooms where children can have a short break away from the classroom, and the goal is that they are getting more educational time. They're not spending a half hour or an hour in the principal's office. They're not going to the office to call home and have mom come pick them up, because they're getting that 10 or 15, or in some schools they allow up to 20 minutes of a break to gather their thoughts, to gather their emotions, get them in check, and head back into the classroom. And that's a win because then the kids get learning time in front of a teacher.
Now, is this an elementary school, high school?
Almost all of our schools,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
There's only one or two that do not have a wellness room currently.
Wow.
So we have that. Now consider also we've worked on social-emotional learning, which some people are trying to turn into a bad thing. But we're trying to help, really help children understand what emotions they're feeling and an appropriate response to those emotions.
Hmm.
Now, what that does is it stops students from having outbursts in the classroom and stops them from, in some cases, they were tossing classrooms. They would go into rages because they didn't know how to manage the emotions they were having. It was so confusing to them. But by simple lessons that are taught in our elementaries and in some of our other secondary schools, not all, we have an opportunity to help children understand what is anger, why do we feel anger, and how do you respond to that. Now, again, there are some of those things happening, but we're trying to lead the way in what we're doing as a response so that children have the tools to be successful not only in education but also in life.
I also think that it's important that students know it's okay to have different feelings.
Yes.
And what those feelings are, like you said, but it is okay to have feelings, because sometimes they look at parents and they don't know what feelings are okay, what feelings aren't okay, and they're being educated on it's okay to have feelings, but this is how you react.
And I imagine
there are some ways.
I imagine as a principal, you had some children that would come and spend a half hour, an hour, or longer in your office.
Yeah, that was my favorite part about being a principal. Seriously.
Yeah.
Is that the kids that were struggling, I had one-on-one time to really take time to talk to them and talk through things with them and come up with a plan and let them know. It's okay that you're upset, but let's find different avenues. What can you do? And it was just one-on-one, and that was one of my favorite things about being a principal. As a teacher, you don't have that much time to spend, but
and
as a principal, you can.
30 other children you have to consider.
Exactly.
Got another text. If our school board is asked by law to close down or mask again, would you stand up and say no, or would you... I think I'm going
to
answer for you.
To
I'm going to answer for you real quick in a couple of different ways. First of all, Dr. Blodgett, who is our county health official, very brilliant man.
Yep.
He said he is worried about the future because people are so fatigued with COVID and warnings and shots and masks and school close downs that if something does come along again, that is maybe more serious than what COVID was. People aren't going to listen. People are going to protest. They're going to say, no, I'm not getting your shot. No, I'm not wearing your mask. I'm not doing... He says he's extremely concerned about that. But at the same time, if those kinds of things do happen, you, again, are bound by law.
Right.
We're bound by law, and yet we also have to consider that I'm not an expert in virology or communicable diseases, and so you have to trust the experts. And suddenly we had all of these experts that came out of Facebook or online who, after their 15 minutes of study, were experts and were telling us what we needed to do.
And some of those, by the way, were our politicians.
Exactly. And so we need to trust the people that are the experts. Dr. Blodgett's a perfect example. Yeah. He does have a degree in communicable diseases. A major portion of his study was that, and we can trust him. He's a great person to be leading our health department, and we can work closely with him to decide. But again, I'm not going to make a political stance on it and tie the hands of a future board by saying, oh, no, we'd never do that again. No, because things are different. Things are, you have to consider what the experts are telling you with the information they have. And as that information evolves, as they learn more, you can adjust to it and compensate for it. That's all you need to do.
Do you think, Steve, when we were younger, I'm a little older than you, but when we were younger, a lot of these, and I'm changing topics a little bit here, a lot of these anxiety and depression things happened, but we didn't identify them back then. That we were having these, some, a lot of these same problems, but we just brushed them under the rug, rubbed some dirt on it kind of attitude.
I think so, Nanette.
I think so, too.
You know, I look at myself and I go, I learned to deal with things in a different way because you didn't have the safety of a screen, of a computer or a streaming service. I had to go out and a lot of things I dealt with were windshield time. I would hop in my Jeep and I'd go for a drive and I would process through. And sometimes I'd listen to my really, really loud music. And
what were we listening to back then, Steve? We want to know.
It was the big hair bands of the 80s, I'll tell you that.
And Rad and AC/DC and
Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Don't forget Cinderella. Yeah, Gypsy Road is the best song to cruise to of any ever.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Right?
Well, no. Gypsy Road.
I like that song.
Yeah, but that's their love song. You don't want to go to that when you're trying to process. You just need that loud music to tune everything out so you can focus on, okay, this is what I'm going through. And so we were forced to process things in a different way. You didn't always have a means.
We had to figure it out on our own. And my go-to was I went for a run.
Oh, there you go.
But I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew I'm feeling irritated. I'm feeling anxiety. I'm feeling overwhelmed. And so I would go for a run or I would take a bath or I just figured it out on my own.
And I would go for a drive. And that's when gas was $1.25 a gallon.
Yeah.
And I only got 6 miles to the gallon out of that Jeep, but darn it, it was fun.
You know what I used to do? I used to drop hundreds of dollars worth of quarters at 49th Street Galleria.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I was good at Defender. Defender was my game.
Those were the dates. All right, another commercial break. More on schools. In fact, graduation is coming up, everybody. We've got some dates, times, and locations for you. Stay tuned. About 10 minutes to 10 o'clock. Thanks again to Nanette Simmons and Steve Dunham for coming in today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Doing a great job, as always. We do have, I love graduation, whether it's college, heck, they do preschool, elementary graduation sometimes now, and of course, high school graduation. But it is a kind of a threshold, kind of a stepping across, you know, you get married, you carry the bride over the threshold. Graduation is one of those types of thresholds in life, because you step from one, you know, being a high school student, being publicly educated, to adulthood, to growing up and starting your next life. And so we have a lot of graduations coming up, Nanette. You want to tell us about some of them?
We do, sure. So they start May 19th through the 25th.
19th, that's 9 days from now.
Yes
it is. So our first one is the Utah Online. It's at 4 p.m. at Desert Hills High Auditorium.
This is the 19th, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And then Monday, the 22nd, we actually have two. So one at 8:30 a.m., Mill Creek High. That will be a virtual filming. And then 7:30 p.m., Water Canyon. It's actually on the school football field.
Cool. Outside.
So, and this will be the first time for them to do that instead of in their gym. And they're I think they're really excited.
I think that's so exciting. Hopefully the weather permits.
Yes.
And then we have on Wednesday, May 24th, we have four.
Four so in one day. Wow.
Yes. So at 8 a.m., Pineview High, also on the school football field. All of these next four are on the football field. 8 a.m., Dixie. 8 a.m. Crimson Cliffs, and 6 p.m. Enterprise. And that's, again, Wednesday, May 24th. And then on Thursday, May 25th, we have three also on the school football fields. Desert Hills, 8 a.m., Snow Canyon, 8 a.m., and Hurricane, 8 a.m. Wow. So, yeah. A lot of graduations.
Time to move forward in life, right?
I know. My favorite thing, they don't want to hear the speakers. They're just excited to move that tassel over and throw the hat up in the air.
Exactly. Move it and throw it, and they're ready to roll.
Yep.
Good luck finding it. If 400
I know.
Do you guys, you think back to your graduation from high school. Think way back. You know, for some of us, it was a long, for me, it was 1984. Did you have any idea then that you would be what you are now? Any concept, any clue?
No.
No?
I always wanted to be in education. Okay. I knew that.
That's awesome.
I always knew that. I never imagined I would be on a school board, but I always knew I wanted to be in education. So my answer would be yes, but not exactly sure where.
You know, and for me, that pathway formed while I was studying at the University of Utah. Mm-hmm. That's where I really thought, okay, I wanted to be in radio, and
that's right.
I didn't like that pathway quite so much, and I got out of it, and I did several things in marketing, but I always liked public speaking, and I had some of those opportunities, and now I get to do it all. I get to do the writing. I get to do some of the public speaking. I get to do a lot of these great things. What I really love is I get to help children. I feel like I'm part of the process where we're helping children and we're strengthening communities. And to me, that's the most rewarding, is I have that cause behind me that kids need help. And there are some that need more help than others. And I want to make sure that I'm a resource to provide that help however I can.
Yeah.
When I was 18, I cared about like four things. Cars, girls, football, well, sports in general, and sleeping. I really like to sleep, but I never got enough. But when I graduated, I was like, I don't know. I wanted to be a professional football player, and it was still open to me at that point because I was going to play college football and stuff. But I probably somewhere in the back of my mind knew that was not really. I mean, the percentage, I think it's 0.01% of high school football players actually play professionally.
So for sure.
I think I knew somewhere in the back of my mind that wasn't realistic. So my second choice was radio, and here I am in radio. And
there you go.
That was 39 years ago.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
That is wonderful.
I never thought I'd be talk radio. I thought I'd do sports radio, and I still do that. In fact, I'm going up next week to the state baseball tournament up in BYU at BYU in Utah Valley.
That'll be exciting.
So, that'll be fun.
That's great, yeah.
Got some great baseball teams here in Southern Utah. That's one of the things I love about Southern Utah. A lot of schools, we're good at football, we're good at basketball. And baseball is almost kind of an afterthought at a lot of schools. But Southern Utah is big time into baseball.
It really is.
UC Dixie beating, you know, Riverton and Copper, and all these big schools up north, because these guys, they take it seriously down here.
That's right.
Very cool. All right, we got about 4 minutes left on the program. You want to talk about the tax initiative a little bit before we go?
I would love to. You know, our goal is really to provide opportunities for our community to ask questions about what we're doing, and what we're doing is simplifying their property tax bill by combining two of the tax levies into one. And as we combine them, we're also going to lower it slightly. And we need people to understand that, because you're going to get your property tax notice. It may show you something different. Then you're going to look at it and go, what the heck is the school district doing? And we want to be clear and transparent as we educate people that we're combining our debt service levy into our capital levy. And I know that doesn't make any sense when you look at a property tax bill, but it's important to understand that we're just combining two levies. So we're wiping one away to zero, moving it up into the other one, and then lowering it slightly. And that's on an average home here in Washington County. And the reason, what that does for the school district is it provides a steady, even budget that we will live within as a school district. Everybody's told us for decades, live within your budget, live within your means. I have to.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah.
And that's what we're saying. We're saying, all right, we're going to do this, and it's going to provide us with a budget that we are going to live within, and we will not come back to taxpayers and ask for a tax increase on capital projects in this district ever again. And that's tremendous on a district growing as fast as we are.
Yeah, for sure.
So explain again that. So we're, instead of having two levies or whatever, you're going to combine them into one, and the overall total of the one will be less than the two combined.
Correct. So
that sounds good to me.
The debt service levy and the capital levy. We're combining those two into one levy, so they're all going into the capital levy. It's like moving your money from one bank account to another, and by doing that, we're also going to lower it slightly and give us that steady income, that steady budget that the district can live within.
So I, if you're done with that subject for a minute, I just wanted to honor Larry Bergeson.
All right, Larry.
So, yeah.
He's almost done it. June 1st, right? It's his at the end of the Larry Bergeson.
Yeah, era. So last night at the board meeting, we actually honored a lot of all the retirees that are retiring this year. And one of them was Larry Bergeson. And it's hard to say goodbye.
It really is.
Yeah.
How long has he been superintendent?
10 years.
10 years.
He's been superintendent 10 years. He's been in our school district for 22, but he's been in education for 41 years. He started off in Idaho at Napoleon Dynamite School. He then went to Wyoming and was a teacher. He was in special ed. He's an amazing guy who has given his heart and soul and stood up for the children in Washington County with everything he could.
Yep. So we are going to miss him, but we welcome Richard Holmes, the new superintendent, who has high integrity. His interest is what is the best thing for the students.
And he has grit.
Yes, he does.
Grit.
Ooh, yes.
I like that word. Burke Staley talked about that last month, remember?
Yes, I do.
That's right. Lot of grit. He does have grit.
We love grit on this show. Not grits.
No. I've never had grits, to be honest. But
by the way, somebody just texted me and said, I have a lot more respect for you guys knowing that you used to and still rock out to hair bands.
Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know.
Best hair band, though, for you with Cinderella?
Well, that Gypsy Road, you can't go wrong with that song.
No,
I'm telling you. I also liked White Lion. Not White Snake, but White Lion.
I remember White Lion.
I liked White Lion.
Wait. was one of their big songs.
Yep.
I like the power ballad. You were kind of making fun, but I like the power ballad.
But I like their version of the Golden Earring song.
I agree. Radar Love. That's a good one.
Their version was so much better than the original.
I used to play it on Z104 when I was a DJ up in Logan years ago. Yeah, White Lion and Red and I kind of like Poison. I was a Poison fan.
I wasn't so much Poison, but Rat's best song is Way Cool Junior.
Way Cool Junior.
Okay. Yep. So listen to that one.
There you go.
We're out of time. Nanette, thanks for coming today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Steve, it's always a pleasure, man.
Thank you, Andy. It's good to be here.
It is 9:59 on KDXU. Tomorrow, Chris Staley in the house.